Ball in the middle of the field, and Pickton will hand it off to Borsa. 25, 20, Borsa to the 15, to the 10, to the house! Touchdown, Kyle Borsa! His first touchdown in Ram colors!
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And thanks for checking out the podcast. If this is your first time, welcome. If you're a regular, then you know we're here to highlight football in Saskatchewan at all levels. Thanks to my great community sponsors, Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. Going to grab myself a pizza and some breadsticks this weekend for sure. Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his work at markgreshner.com. Face First Medical Aesthetics. Get Botox for your birthday at a discount. And guys, ask about Brotox above Gabbo's on Dewdney Avenue in Regina. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Give Double Z Ag Sales a call. Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Southern Saskatchewan's premium certified seed grower, delivering homegrown certified durum, yellow peas, and chickpeas. We start this podcast highlighting one of the great young football players in Saskatchewan. Now, this guy's putting in a lot of great work over the last few years to get better. Our athlete of the week for Paul Waldo at Royal LePage in Regina is Max Kennedy, Southpaw quarterback in grade 12 from the Balgonie Green All Griffins. All right, talking now with Max Kennedy, who plays out in Balgonie with the Green All Griffins. How are you today, Max?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Now, is it Max or Maxwell? What do you like to go by?
I go by Max, usually.
Oh, okay. Max, why did you choose quarterback?
I mean, ever since watching football at a young age with my dad, I just liked the position. It's cool. I like throwing different kinds of balls, too, and football is cool. You make reads and fun sport, too, so.
Not too many lefties out there. You're a lefty. Do you watch guys like Tua and old clips of Michael Vick and Steve Young? There are not too many left-handed quarterbacks out there.
Oh, yeah, I have. I've been watching, and that gets me keep going, too, seeing guys like Tua going high overall, too, in the draft and stuff. So
yeah. So being a lefty, the ball rotates the other way. Have receivers ever complained about that rotation? Because it's different than catching from a guy who's right-handed.
Yeah, I've had a couple, mainly in the selects program, guys that I wasn't used to with complaining about that. But at the same time, some guys that I've played out here with my whole life, they say vice versa. So if it's a right-handed quarterback, they'll be like, I'm not used to that because they've been catching from me mostly. Mm. So
you've grown over the last few years since I've been watching you, right around 6 feet. Can you run too? Are you a pretty athletic guy, or are you more stand in the pocket kind of guy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could run around, make throws from the pocket usually.
Yeah.
I don't mind scrambling too. I'm confident throwing on the run. So,
hey, Max, who's your quarterback hero?
My quarterback hero is probably Deshaun Watson.
Oh, you like him? What do you like about his game from the Houston Texans?
I don't know. I just like he can do it all. And he's really, ever since his Clemson days, I've been watching and following him, and it's cool to see he's performing in the NFL, too. So,
do you watch the CFL? Is there anybody in the CFL you like watching?
I watch the CFL. I was a big Travis Lule guy back in the day.
Yeah.
When he was playing, yeah.
Yeah, Travis could sling it, especially 2011 when they won that Grey Cup. Hey, you went to the Manning Passing Camp down south when you were in grade 8, I believe. What was that like to go to?
Oh, it was super cool. Coolest weekend. We got there, and then all the guys were set up there with the dorm rooms and everything and all the sponsorships, and it was just fun learning from those guys, too.
Besides the Manning brothers, who were down there kind of like as the camp counselors?
So the camp counselors were, do you know Nick Mullins?
Yep.
Backup Niners quarterback. So he was actually my group leader. And then there were other group leaders. Deshaun Watson was there. Patrick Mahomes was there. And then I'm not sure on some others. I think there's this Kelly quarterback that went to Mississippi or something.
Chad Kelly, yeah, who was with the Patriots or with the Colts there. So what did you learn from that camp? Was it you know, you think about it, you go to those things, it's kind of like you're in awe. But did you learn some good things too? What did you pick up from in that camp?
Oh, yeah, like mainly they'd tell us about how to conduct ourselves off the field, and then in the film room, it was mostly about preparation going into the game and stuff, like different quarterbacks would talk at the mic, quarterbacks like the group counselors, and they'd explain how they prepared themselves, how they watched film, getting ready for the upcoming games too.
Yeah. Do you have
and then in school, I mean, they were teaching us like different motions, how to quicken the delivery and all that, so it was nice.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite sports quote or motivational quote that you kind of look at?
I mean, I like the Kevin Durant one, hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard, because you could have a bunch of guys that have just been working their tails off all year going against the most talented team and most skilled team, but as long as whoever's working the hardest come out on top. So,
how have you liked the 7-on-7 league that Zelko and his wife Deb have put on out there in Moose Jaw?
Oh, it's super fun. I mean, especially with no tackle football, it gives us something to do. It's a lot of passing, and it's still competitive. Like, we're in a regular season here for tackle, so.
Yeah. We'll get into that in a second. Now, tell me about working out with Picton, because you've been working out with Noah Picton, or you were until they started up again. How did that help you? What did Noah do to help you out?
Yeah, so in the summer, I started up with him. And I went into that kind of like this past year. I had a long stride delivering the football. I wouldn't say lazy footwork, but it definitely wasn't the sharpest. And really, he'd come out and just put me through footwork drills. We'd just throw from 10 yards away for 30, 25 minutes, just working on the delivery too, maybe a whole session sometimes. And it was good. He'd also pause midway through. He'd be standing there at a spot and say, this is an out route against the cut coverage. Well, how would you make this read and things like that? So it helped me out a lot.
What's your best, your mom probably calls you Maxwell when you get in trouble. That's probably it, mom and dad, right? What's your best intangible or quality as a quarterback, Max?
I feel I'm smart. I make good decisions with the ball too, especially I've worked on that since last year. And then again too, I feel like if I get out of the pocket, I can run or pass. So,
yeah. Hey, Max, very interesting time for you going into grade 12. Grade 12 is always a big year for so many reasons. How do you get yourself noticed by schools now? I mean, it's very restrictive. You can't go out of province for camps. You can't really go on any recruiting visits right now. Nobody can come in to see you. So how do you get yourself noticed? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, especially with no senior season, at least yet, to be. So I've been sending them my junior tapes, and then they're asking for more training film, some of them. So that's what I've been doing. Some haven't got back to me, but I'm still working on that. Mm-hmm. And then we also have film coming for the 7-on-7 too, so that Zelko got. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to send some of that out, but it's definitely tough without a senior season here. So,
what do you want to take in school at the next level when you go to university?
I'm thinking business probably. Then it leaves me some options after I graduate with what would be a business degree. So,
Max, how do you feel about maybe if you could playing high school football in the spring? Right now, the Saskatchewan High School Athletic Association isn't really supportive of that because they think there'll be an overlap of, you know, other sports and it could affect enrollment in other sports. How do you feel about that whole mentality and really having a chance to play high school football? I guess first question before you answer that, do you play any other sports besides high school football?
I was playing baseball and hockey for many years before.
Yeah.
I stopped that last year, the year before. I still play basketball and others for fun, though.
Yeah, okay.
And then I just play the Selects program and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so now to my question I'd asked you 2 seconds before. How do you feel about, you know, if you could have a high school football season in the spring, and right now the mandate from the Saskatchewan High School Athletic Association that they're not real supportive of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a perfect idea, too. Like, it wouldn't be too tough to get set up. I know they're talking about it conflicting with track and other events, but, I mean, really, there's no, like, interference between the track kids and the football. In worst case, they could miss a practice here and there to go to that event, but it'd be awesome. I mean, when you're playing in October and November here, you go from playing in the nice weather to getting chilly, possibly snow. Mm-hmm. And in that case, in the spring, you'd be playing, it'd be getting only warmer as you go on and as you make the playoff run and so forth. So.
Yeah, that'd be good for quarterbacks too when the weather's warmer. And I really believe high school football, all sports are important. I like all sports, but high school football, at least in Regina and surrounding area, it has that that family feel, like the school gets behind you to come watch. It really rallies the school together. Do you feel that?
Oh, yeah, like even looking on my Snapchat, the 1 year ago today memories, seeing like pictures of us on the bus or in the locker room getting ready before the games, or us watching another high school game like those Riffle games or the 5A games too. It just makes you miss the atmosphere and being around it and playing in it. So,
how tough has the COVID thing been on you mentally? I think we forget about that with the young athletes. You know, my son's down south, and they start for 3 days, and there's a COVID outbreak. They have to pause training camp. What's it like for you in a grade 12 year? I mean, my son, and lots like him, didn't get grad last year, so they lost out on that. Hopefully, you get that this year. But in terms of the football side of thing, I don't think people realize the blood, sweat, and tears like young athletes like you guys, or like you, Max, put into this sport. So how has this affected you mentally?
Yeah, I mean, it's super unfortunate, but it is what it is, I guess. Like, been preparing all year or all spring, I guess, all summer, training, working out, getting ready for this senior season here. Sorry, pardon me. But I mean, yeah, it's just honestly unfortunate. I've been pretty good through it. It was a little tough at the start, especially finding out about the cancellation of the high school season. But I figured all that opportunity coming up, and with the Selects program too, they're doing lots to keep us going and keep us playing, which is nice. So.
Yeah, it's great on Zelko and Deb and what they do out there. How do you deal with stress, Max? Because it's a stressful position you play. Grade 12 brings its own stresses. What do you do to deal with stress? Do you listen to music? Do you work out? Do you go throw 100 footballs? What do you do?
Deal with stress? I mean, yeah, I'll go to the gym, maybe go with a couple of my buddies, go work out, or I'll gather the guys and try and get a big poker game going or something. That's always a good time talking with the guys and having fun. So
yeah, make sure you wear your mask, socially distance.
Yep.
Hey, lastly, if you got a chance to say something to the powers that be about football players and all athletes and how you've been impacted, what would you say to them right now if you had the head of the Saskatchewan High School Athletics Association right in front of you? What would you say to him to try to convince him or those in charge that you should be able to play in the spring?
I mean, I'd probably tell him honestly that I feel we could make it work social distancing wise too. Like, we're all in a high school together at Greenhall, and we do a decent job of the social distancing, and they're all about the hand sanitizer and everything and the mask, which is going good. And there's been no cases or outbreaks at least our school area and most in the city for the most case. So I don't know. I feel like even they could make a no dressing room policy or something. We have to get dressed in the car, but anything to play, like everybody's missing out on it too. So
I feel it's very interesting. Like, the RMFs found a way to make it work, and they got through it, even though, they had certain rules, certain restrictions on who could watch the game or how many could watch the game, sanitize the footballs, use your own footballs, even to the point where you played the same team 2 weeks in a row and took a break. Even if you could do that, even if, like, Balgoni played, like, Sheldon 2 weeks in a row and then took a break and played, I don't know, what make up, Riffle 2 weeks in a row or whatever, just so even something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. It'd be awesome. And it's unfortunate, too, when I'm driving by on the highway home or something and we see, like, the Bantam team practicing. Like, last night, as an example, I saw them under the lights there at the baseball diamond in the outfield practicing, getting some light. And it's just making me think, like, how we very well could have made it work, I feel, too.
Once you dirty teenagers, right? You guys have more chance of getting COVID, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Maxwell, thanks for this. I appreciate it. We'll be following you, and hopefully you get on the field to show what you can do, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. Have a good one.
And thanks to Max Kennedy and other grade 12 students like him. Hopefully things work out for those grade 12 athletes, not only in football but other sports, so they can finish off their high school athletics in fine style. Just ahead of our pick six with former Rider and current Alouettes fullback Spencer Moore, this was the highlight or lowlight from this week's Thursday night football game. The Giants were 88 yards away from their end zone when quarterback Daniel Jones broke free for a huge run. He had no one near him. Total daylight. Here's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman with the call. They couldn't help but laugh.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips. Going to the end zone and ends up carrying it as it is for 80. But a walking touchdown, and he tripped himself.
This is the only way he doesn't score. That old turf monster got him right about there. I've never seen it open up the way that it did for him on that. It's been that kind of year for the Giants offensively.
Time now for our pick six for Sasolex Football, building the stars of tomorrow today out there at the Yar Center in Moose Jaw. Their 7-on-7 league just wrapping up this weekend. I'm joined by former Rough Rider and now Alouette fullback and fan favorite on this podcast, Spencer Moore. How are you today, Spencer?
I'm doing great, thanks. How you doing?
Good. I'm sure by now you watched the highlight or saw it live of Daniel Jones falling over his own feet at the 8-yard line as he's about to run in a long touchdown. What's the most embarrassing moment Spencer Moore's ever had?
In high school, I was playing in the all-star basketball game, and I got a free throw, and I airballed the free throw. So that's not one of my finest moments, that's for sure.
I played football not at a high level like you. One time with the Regina Rams, I'm deep in behind coverage by about 25 yards at McMahon Stadium, wide open, drop the ball. That's the longest walk to the bench you'll ever have.
For sure, yeah.
It's terrible. Hey, some are talking that your ex-teammate G. Roy Simon could be the next GM of the Lions. Can you see that?
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Having spent time with G. Roy, he's got a good business acumen for him, and he's really good at evaluating players. He knows the game inside and out, especially the Canadian game, so I could definitely see that.
If you had a 2020, if you don't have a 2021 season, rather, do you think this league can survive?
It's tough to say. I mean, I would be surprised if any leagues really could survive without playing for two seasons, especially our league. It's obviously a bit different, a different business model than those bigger leagues, but I'd be surprised if they're able to continue going with no season for 2 years.
Let's get to some NFL stuff here before we get to our picks. Antonio Brown signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are you surprised by that?
I was a little surprised by that. I think that they're pretty deep offensively. I didn't think that they necessarily needed him. Tom Brady must have saw something he liked playing with him last year briefly and put a good word in, and here we are.
That shocks me, actually, that Brady, you have this idea of what Brady is coming from the Belichick team, and you think to yourself, he would never like an Antonio Brown, but he's lobbied for him twice in two places.
Yeah, it is interesting, especially, like you said, being from a Belichick system, but I think it just shows that Tom Brady is definitely his own person, and that's sort of the reason why he wanted to move on from the Patriots and sort of distinguish himself from being always tied to Belichick. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out. Obviously, Antonio Brown can play, so we'll see.
Have you ever played with a guy that outlandish like Antonio Brown, and how does that play in the locker room?
Yeah, I definitely played with a couple characters in my day. It's tough because there's players that are so talented, so valuable to their team in terms of their football skill, but then, you know, the things like that are a bit of a distraction, they can become a bit too much. It does cause a rift in the locker room, especially when you see certain players getting away with things that not everyone really is doing. So I don't particularly love having teammates like that. It's going to be part of the game, though, and you just have to roll with the punches and figure out a way to win with them.
I think of a guy like Daron Carter or a guy like Dwight Anderson. The juice is worth the squeeze, but pretty soon it's not, and then your mouth outruns your body, so to speak, and then they have to let you go. So we'll see. I think this is his fourth team in the last 19 months. So where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's just see how it plays out. Okay, let's get to some picks here in Ballsy's Pick 6 with Spencer Moore. The big game is the Steelers and Titans in Nashville. Let's talk about two players. First, on the Steelers side, how about the Canadian, Chase Claypool?
Oh, yeah, he's playing very well. It's nice to see him have some instant success. You know, Big Ben's playing well. The Steelers look really good. I'm happy for that Chase Claypool kid. I listened to him on a podcast a couple of days ago, and seems like a really good kid. So it's going to be a good game between those two for sure.
I think it's just what football in Canada needs. Not at the CFL level, like we want people to play CFL, but just to look up to a Canadian kid that's doing it at the highest level, kind of like a Steve Nash in basketball. I kind of hope it has that effect, because football really needs a shot in the arm.
Yeah, for sure. I think it can only produce good things. Kids have something they can look up to, you know, from their same neighborhoods or from Canada, just like that. So Yeah, he's doing very well.
People like to say running backs are interchangeable. Don't tell that to Derrick Henry. He is an MVP candidate for sure.
Yeah, the way that guy runs, he's a specimen. You know, he's whatever, he's 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 250.
Yeah,
running 4.3 speed. So, you know, it'd be awesome to be able to block for a guy like that. It's amazing to me just watching him play because, you know, he can get between the tackles, but they run quite a few outside zone plays, and he gets that edge. He's gone.
He almost reached 22 miles an hour on that 94-yard run the other day. Like, that is unreal for a big boy like that.
It's unbelievable. And the way he runs, because he's so big, it doesn't look like he's actually moving that fast, but I'm sure he's moving.
If Spencer Moore had to tackle him, would you do a Deion Sanders and make a business decision?
No, I'm taking him down.
Hey,
I don't get paid enough to make business decisions like that.
Every guy goes down the same way by the legs. You chop a tree down at its base, so that's what you do. That's what you got
to
do.
That's the only way you can do it.
That's right. Okay, New England's home to San Francisco. Jimmy G goes back to Boston, and the Patriots are coming off a loss to Denver, surprisingly. How do you see this one shaking down?
You know, I don't think New England's that good, but I think that coming off a loss and having Bill Belichick giving him a full week to prepare with Cam Newton at the helm because he didn't practice much before last game, I think that the Patriots will get a chance to win this one. Again, though, I don't think that they're that good, so it could go either way.
Hey, I didn't ask you. I guess I was remiss. Who do you got, Steelers or Titans? That's a good one.
I think I like the Steelers.
Yeah, me too. I like the Steelers too. I think the Steelers, I'm waiting for the Titans to kind of drop off a little bit here. I'm not sure if I'm totally sold on them yet. Although we talked about Derrick Henry, he sure got Ryan Tannehill a nice contract. Tannehill has played really well there, but he didn't have a Derrick Henry in Miami. Okay, on to number three in Ballsy's pick six with Spencer Moore, Green Bay at Houston. Are we reading too much into the way the Packers got killed by the Bucks?
Yeah, I think so for sure. It was a bit of an anomaly, I think. I think Green Bay is very, very good. Aaron Rodgers is playing great. Obviously, last week he did not play great, but I think statistically after a loss, they are very, very good with Aaron Rodgers. So I'd be hammering the Green Bay Packers on this one.
Seattle was looking at Antonio Brown, I think, because they know they got to outscore everybody. They can't do it defensively. Seattle can't stop anybody. Now, I like Kyler Murray. But I like Russell more. Who do you got in this game?
Yeah, I got Seattle in this one. Russell's playing as well as I've ever seen him play. You know, it will be an offensive game for sure, but it seems like a lot of games this year have been offensively minded, and it's a bunch of shootouts right now, so I like Seattle.
It's hard to believe that Russell Wilson's never garnered an MVP vote.
I heard that a few weeks ago when they were talking about it. I found that quite shocking, to be honest, because you know, he's played at a high level for a long time. I think that being on the West Coast, I think that he doesn't get as much love as he should. But this year, he's definitely in a candidacy for MVP.
Okay, think about this for a second. I don't care about their ages or anything. This question comes to you. If you had to take one quarterback to win you the championship, one game, who's your quarterback right now in the NFL?
I mean, it's tough to go against Tom Brady, I think. He's been there so many times, and he's done it so many times. He's playing very well this year as well, so I'll go with my guy, Tom.
Okay, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. I think he is underappreciated out there in Seattle. If he's in New York or something, we're talking about him like he's a god. Okay, and let's go to that. Brady and the Bucks at the Raiders. Bucks, the schedule's lining up nicely for them. They add Antonio Brown, another piece to the puzzle. I don't think a team has ever won a Super Bowl when they've hosted. Tampa could do that this year. They're definitely in the mix. What do you think of the Bucs so far?
Well, the Bucs look good. Their defense is what's really impressing me. I think that it took Tom Brady and the offense a couple of games to get moving, but they're playing really well, but their defense showed against Green Bay that they can force turnovers and they can score off those turnovers. So I like the Bucs in this one.
I've never played professional football. I've only covered it watching guys like you play. The Raiders are going to play, and I don't know how many of their linemen are going to play because they had five sit out for COVID protocol. I'm assuming they'll all come back. So my question to you is, how do you think they'll play without practice? And is practice overrated by the media?
You know what? I think that practice is very important, but then you get a chance and you watch the Titans come off of 2 weeks of no practice pretty much. and they laid that whooping down on Buffalo, you know, kind of makes you question whether all that practicing is necessary. I think that it's a team-by-team basis, and it'll be interesting to see what the Oakland can do with these five old linemen that might not be playing, or if they are playing, they're playing on limited practice time. So it's going to be tough for them, for sure, especially at the O-line position. It's a lot of repetition there.
I like what Oakland did against Kansas City, though. It kind of, you know, Kansas City, you have to say they're probably the favorites in the AFC, even though Pittsburgh and Tennessee are doing well. But Kansas City, they don't seem as invincible as they did before.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I mean, last year they were looking like they were world beaters, and then they ended up way worse. So they got an early loss this season now, and like you said, they don't look the same as they once did. So it's going to be a good run here.
The Bears are 5-1, but I think a deceiving 5-1. This is our last in Ballsy's Pick 6. Bears are 5-1. Rams really haven't beaten anybody. They've beaten up on the NFC East. Who do you think this is a bigger game for, Bears or Rams on Monday Night Football?
I think it's a big game for the Bears. I think, like you said, they haven't really beat anyone. The Rams also haven't really played anyone too good. They lost to the Niners on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think that the Bears' defense is very good, but the Monday Nighter, I don't know. It seems like Nick Foles, he does show up for big games, so maybe I'll go with the Bears on this one.
Yeah, and I think it's a bigger game for the Rams because I think the Rams are closer to being a fraud than the Bears are. I know the Bears, you know, but the Bears have – as you know this very well, defense and running games travel. So defense, defense, as much as the rules are skewed against the defense, Spencer, I think the defense is more tried and true there in Chicago. I know you'll say, well, they've got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey in Los Angeles. That's true. I'm still not a Jared Goff guy.
No, I agree. I'm not a Jared Goff guy. And it has been really hit or miss with them, I find. I find that sometimes they'll look like they're the best team in the league, and then they'll look like they're the worst team in the league. So not much consistency. Nick Foles is playing well, and under the lights, he's pretty good. So I like the Bears.
How you been doing, lastly, the off season? Has it been frustrating? What have you been doing to bide your time besides working out?
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I'm in the hiring process for a Hamilton Fire Department, so it's actually nice that I've been able to work out and train because my physical fitness testing for that's coming up in a few weeks. So just taking it day by day, and you know, I'm hoping that there's an opportunity to play one more season. But if this firefighting thing comes, then it's going to be all she wrote for me.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you. So when will you know if you get a spot on the firefighting department there?
It's still a lengthy process. I think I'm stage 2 or 3 of 5 or 6. So it'll be drawn out for a few more months, I'm sure. But I would anticipate that early 2021, I would have an idea if I'm going to be able to get into that right away. So
that's the question then, Spencer. If it's February or March of 2021, and you find out Spencer Moore is in the fire department in the Hamilton area, and you're still not sure what's going to go on with the CFL, will you pull the pin and that's it for the CFL career?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that at that point I'll have to do that and make a good decision for myself and for my family. Getting into firefighting would be a dream come true in itself. So if I get that opportunity, you know, at this stage, then it's something I wouldn't be able to walk away from, unfortunately. But, you know, we'll just take it day by day here and we'll see what happens. You know, there's talk every day about us having a season, us not having a season. So who knows what will happen in March.
Hey, well, we'll talk again because we enjoy you on the podcast here. Thanks for this, Spencer. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Ballsy.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.